phone lookers. And so all that time you just stop and spend and you're going to scroll for a minute turns into 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. It is a fascinating thing to do if you have an iPhone, to do your look at all the social media filters that they have and look at your how much time you actually spent on certain things. Can be kind of discouraging. But you can look all that up. Did you know that? It's tracking all of that on your iPhone. Somebody knows it, by the way, other than you, I would almost guarantee. But anyway, they're tracking all the time you spend on all the different stuff, and you can limit it. We'll talk about that at the end. You can say, look, only give me five, if you have an iPhone or an iPad, only give me 5 minutes on Facebook. Imagine that, 5 minutes. But you can do that, so it's pretty cool. Android devices don't do it quite the same. You might be able to find those as well. But anyway, 3 hours on your phone, 11 hours in front of screens generally, and that's doing work for a lot of people, or study if you're, you know, I probably spend, if I look at the actual time my computer's on, it's usually probably 12 hours a day I study on my computer. So I have a ton of time spent, and I try to get the nicest possible computer, so because I spend so much time staring at it, and I've got a big huge screen because I've got the Bible up here. So using those things as a tool is great. Even your phone is a wonderful tool. I mean, it is incredible. I told this story a while back. I was hiking in the mountains, and I got up super early to do a hike, because Lisa and I were on our anniversary, and I didn't want to be gone very long while she wasn't awake, so I got up some crazy early hour so I could go climb a 13er, and I'm climbing at like 4 in the morning, and my headlamp that I was supposed to have went out, but I had my iPhone. So I pulled out my iPhone, I turn on the light so I can walk on the trail, because it's really rocky, you know, 1,000-foot drop-offs. So I'm using my iPhone. Plus, I am tracking where I am. I had all trails, so it's showing me where I am on the trail at any given moment, and I'm listening to John MacArthur sermons while I'm doing all of this on that one little device. I mean, it's the greatest thing ever. It's like so incredible. So I'm not dissing social media. I'm not bashing your phone. I use all this stuff. I got an iPad here. My phone's down here. I use my computer. They all link together. Guys, these are tremendous tools. Because any time that I spend that allows my work to go faster and be more productive is time I can spend with my family. And that's important time. Now, problem is I can get drawn away on the stuff, and then somehow get subtly drawn away from the time with my family or the time with my wife. So, but that's a whole other discussion, is the theology of time management. We need another 5 weekends. Because those things are really important. Because all of this really boils down to that. If you can't use your time well, you've blown all of this, right? Everybody has the same amount of time, 24 hours in a day. John MacArthur has 24 hours. I have it. You have it. How are you going to use it? Anyway, so 3 hours on your phone, 24 hours a week on the internet. So again, some of that's productive work where you're studying or doing things. 24 hours a week on the internet. That's a really lot of time. I spent 24 hours on Age of Empires in 4 months. Right? 24 hours a week on the internet is a lot. You probably all don't spend that much, but might be close. So guys, this is a real issue, and your social media is a lot of that. Not all of it, of course, right? But when you're on the web doing those things, a lot of it is your social media. And just like with everything else, you must approach your social media presence and your social media posts and your social media entertainment. You must approach that with a Christian mindset. You can't afford to just pick up the phone, start scrolling, doing your thing, and not know bigger picture why or what you're looking at. Or when you put together your Instagram profile and your Facebook profile, and you're going to throw out a TikTok video, whatever it might be, you need to understand what you're doing, and not be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't, the days are evil. Use your time well, Ephesians 5. Guys, you're Christians. You're not like unbelievers. You just use the stuff, and some of it for overtly evil intent purposes, but most people just because that's what they do. It's what you do. So you hop on the phone, you do the thing. Parents hand their little kids, you know, 5-year-old, 4-year-old kids, the iPad, and they learn how to do that, and they can swipe and get on the internet in 5 seconds and buy stuff. They do. Guys, without thinking, it's because what you do. You as a Christian never do anything without thinking, biblically. You shouldn't. If you do, you're probably going to end up sinning. Now, I'm not saying every moment is all right, glory of God, glory of God, glory of God. I can't read while I'm saying glory of God in my head all the time. See what I mean? I'm saying every day you orient around that, you orient your life around that, and then you evaluate while you're doing it and after your day is done, did I honor the Lord in my media? Man, it takes time. In our busy lives, you have to be able to analyze. That's why Worldview Weekend, I want to get you started on this. Some of you, you're way down the road. You've got these things in mind. You understand why you're doing what you're doing, a lot of it. You're carefully evaluating it, but I'm not sure that's a lot of you. And it needs to be all of you, because you're Christians. And your goal is to glorify God above all things. And in everything you do, you need to be able to say, when you get to heaven and right now, God, I did that to glorify you. I was talking with Becky Jo. You know, can you watch an episode of, what was it? Andy Griffith, to honor the Lord. I think you can. So you need to, but you would need to know that you can. And not sit there, well, I did that, but I shouldn't have. That's a lot of the way we view entertainment, even social media. I'm not here to tell you I did that, but you shouldn't have. Some of it, yeah, you shouldn't have. Some of the amount of time, no, you shouldn't have. But what I'm telling you is you ought to be able to, at the end of the day, go to bed with a clear conscience saying, that was to please the Lord. It did actually please the Lord. And my life is moving in the direction of pleasing him ever increasingly. Some of these things, by the way, will get weaned out of your life. There's some things you just will choose not to do. Again, video games, sometimes seasons. Right? When my son was young, we played more together. I play with my girls some. We do fun things. We have a Marvel thing. We're trying to beat Thanos and win the universe and all that stuff. But that's lesser in my life. It ebbs and flows. Sometimes I just don't have time. I can't do it. When I was in 7 or 8, none of that happened. Zero. Not because it was sin, but because it would have been sin for me to do it because I couldn't spend time with my family. But so keeping these things carefully in light and knowing how much time you spend, it is a great thing to have a tracker on your phone or something that tells you how much time you actually spent, because it would surprise you probably. Might not. You might know. I spend 10 minutes a day on Facebook, no more, or surfing the internet. YouTube, I've spent 15 minutes a day. But you need to know. It might shock you. It might say, no, that's exactly the amount. That was good time. That's what I want. I want you to say, no, yep, all that time I spent, yeah, someone was just purely having fun. I was watching somebody, I never can understand it. You watch someone else play a video game and you spend an hour doing that. That dude is awesome. Look, he just built that Minecraft thing. It was so cool. I guess you need to do that so you figure out how to do it better. But maybe you don't spend 8 hours on that. Maybe bump that down a little. Anyway, use of social media for the glory of God. Some thoughts here. What are the benefits of social media? And why don't you tell me? Right? And here we're talking again, texting and Facebooks and Instagrams, those kind of platforms, just kind of everything that goes around with social media. What are the benefits of it? What's good about it? Yeah, man, I love that. I've got people from youth groups that I was part of it, 20 years ago. They got families now, and they're living in Thailand, and I get to see pictures of their kids. Oh, that's awesome. All right, what else? What are the benefits? Yeah, Sam.
Learning skills and information.
I'm telling you, I surf YouTube largely so I can fix my car. I had to replace my alternator. I've never done that on a Ford. I've done it on a lot of other cars. So what do? I pulled 3 videos. You have to watch 3. One guy does it. He's crazy. You know, he like takes a samurai sword and chops it in half. And, you know, this is the way to do it, guys. So you watch 3, you get it down. And then I put my phone, again, that wonderful device. I stuck it up on the hood while I was changing it. I was like, man, what did that look like? Because it was the same model as mine. And I could actually look and see where the bolt was that I need. That was sweet. All right, good information, learning skills. What else? What are the benefits are there of social media? There are more. Yes, right. So quickly you can find, either get important information out or get important information for yourself. Yes, Madeline.
It's convenient to keep up with people that you're not physically
close to. Yeah, relationship. Right, so you're not there, and yet you can expand the amount of people you can actually stay in touch with. Now, that's a detriment at times, because sometimes there's so much emotional energy spent trying to relate to everybody that you don't really relate to anybody. That's a danger, but it's a great blessing to be able to stay in touch. You know, you're away from college, and your buddies are there, or, you know, they're at other places, and when you get back together, they said, no, I talked with you, and I saw you, and I saw some pictures. That's a sweet thing. Right? And you come back here and you've been talking with the people here. You come back to church. Anyway, that's great. Anything else? Benefits. Okay, we got a lot of them. If we're talking about arts and media, everybody can be an artist. Put your stuff out there. Might not be good, but I mean, but that was never possible before. You're a little peasant slaving away in, you know, medieval Europe. You might be a great artist. Nobody's ever going to see it. These days, you could be, you know, you're a college student working at Chick-fil-A, and you're a great artist, and you get some of that stuff out there, and people see it. Now, most of you, it's never going to happen. Don't get too excited. But even then, you can show people stuff you did that's really fun and creative, and they can like it with you. Literally like it with you, right? Or heart it. Or I love the little one's got the arms around the heart. I mean, that's cool. But you guys, those are good things. David. Absolutely. You look around, you get the best price, it shows up at your door, or you Amazon is the greatest thing ever. Jeff Bezos, he should make more money. I think that's one. Everyone can be an artist. Everyone can be an evangelist. Well, that's big. You might have, let's say you got 500 friends. Let me just a little poll here. How many of you have at least, and I know Facebook's old, it's for your grandma, but or Instagram or whatever, followers. How many of you have at least 100 on your Facebook? Yeah, yeah, put this hand up. How many? 200, 300, 400, 500, 600. Starting to lose some, about 500. Okay, you can put your hands down. I'm not gonna go past that. I think last time I looked at it, like 696. All right, and that's light for you know. But guys, those aren't all my friends. I get that. But you guys, think of the influence when I put something out that exalts Jesus, and I know that everybody isn't looking at it, but a lot of them are. And that can exalt Jesus to 600 people that I would never have spoken to. That's pretty powerful. Or it could encourage them in Christ when they're having a bad day, which is why we're going to talk about using your social media presence wisely, because it can be used for very powerful purposes, and people do look at it. You know they're following you because you can see it. And they click the stuff, and they say they liked it, and sometimes they say they read it, and they didn't really read it, but that's okay, because, you know, but they saw it. That's great. Everyone can be an evangelist. Everyone can communicate a message. Again, that's great danger to that, because people are communicating really bad messages. But there is blessing and benefit that you have a voice. I mean, again, that's why this stuff could really be used well, and it saddens me that it isn't, because, you know, Satan will twist anything, or evil hearts will twist anything. But you really kind of do have a voice. People actually will hear you. And if you say good, truthful things, they might listen to you and they might actually change. Now, debating on Facebook, we'll talk about it. I don't think that changed much of anybody's mind. But when people read things and look at things and might be influenced by something that you say, particularly when it's kind and gracious and well thought out, you, little me, can actually change people's minds and hearts. Again, as the Lord works through those things, you can act. That's a great blessing. You could never do that before. A couple people that you knew, that was it. It's pretty cool, I think. You can stay in touch with people in more intimate ways. You can show pictures. And so it's not just, you know, hey, how are you doing? On the phone, yeah, letter, you can't get the picture. They can actually see into your life. And those are really neat things. I love watching people's kids grow up and wow, they just did this. Now, be careful. I'm not a big fan of the my child is so great, every word my child gets shows up on YouTube. I'm like, your child's not that great. I like seeing pictures of your kid, but I don't really want to know that he won this, you know, the kindergarten award for the, you know, teacher's pet. I don't want to know that. All right. And I don't think it's a good use of it. Family bragging is not a real good way to use Facebook. Personal bragging is not a real good way to use it either. But you can keep in touch with people. It's great. So those are some of the benefits. What are some of the dangers? Help me out. So what are some of the dangers of social media on the flip side? I've mentioned some of them, but what are they? Why is it dangerous? What's that? I mean, you look at everybody and they're having a great time. Last couple of weeks, I'm looking at every one of my friends is on vacation. You guys are, we're not. You're my friends too. But they're all at the beach. And I'm like, why are these people going on vacation all the time? All everybody does is do vacations. And I'm looking at, well, I mean, this is like 100 people. I've got a pool of 600. But I'm my own heart is getting jealous of people on vacation because I'm working. And that's just a mild case of that, right? Jealousy, yeah. Yeah, you can go way past, way into things, all over the place, and you run into things that, like, ooh, what is it? Joshua.
Like trying to feel validated. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tremendous danger that you're using it for your validation point, that's actually what makes. While you can have a greater significance, or you can have a kind of significance, which is really great, then all of a sudden you start to build your significance off of that, how many people you have, how many likes you get. You know, anybody, well, I don't do that. Do you look when you post on Instagram? Do you look on there to see how many people liked it? Of course you do. Is that sinful? No. But be careful of finding your validation there. When I post something on the internet, maybe an article or something, I look to see how many people looked at it. Some of that could be vanity. I got to be careful. Some of that I want to know, was that something that people paid attention to? Did the message get out there? But that's a very fine line as you seek to do those things. Anything else? Dangerous. Yeah. Right, it's like all entertainment. There's things that are affecting you that you don't necessarily even know, and you have to be very careful about that. It is addictive as well, because relational things are addictive, and things that give us a bump emotionally. And they've done studies on this. I mean, you've probably heard the studies. The you know endorphin release that happens when somebody likes your stuff. And that's real. I mean, those are real physical things that are happening in your body, and you feel better. 20 people like my thing. If nobody liked it, you feel bad. That's a great danger. You're like, your whole day is bummed out because nobody looked at your Instagram post. Why didn't 50 people look at it instead of only 20? And so-and-so right below me, that was a dumb thing they showed, and they had 156 people like that when mine was really cool, and I only got 10. I'm sure you don't do that, but it happens, right, to other people. And all of a sudden, you're addicted in ways of just kind of wanting to look at that stuff. A couple other things. It's hard to foster deep relationships. It really is pretty much impossible on social media. Now, it can be part of fostering a deep relationship, but you can't really go deep there. It's easy to fool people and manipulate people, and we do that subtly. I do this picture and not this one. I do show this thing. And I'm saying that Facebook's a great place to show ugly pictures of yourself. Here's me looking really bad. But maybe that would balance off, the perfectly done picture. Every time your new picture is a more beautiful picture of you or a more handsome picture of you. And there's some danger there, I think, that you need to carefully think about. You don't always look that good. Right? And really, you don't want everybody relating to you on the basis of how. And then they'll see you in person and they're like, yeah, see here at camp, and you just played volleyball, and you're all sweaty, and you're yucky, and they're like, I like that guy, but I don't like this guy. And that goes much deeper, right? Or literally not, there's people that on there that aren't the people they are. In fact, a lot of people on there that aren't the people that they actually are, and how would you know? And they talk like the people that they are. They talk like a female, and they're a male. They talk like a male, and they're a female. They talk like a Christian, and they're a pagan. They talk like a really nice guy, and they're just trying to get pictures of you. I hope you know some of those dangers. And so they're real deep, dark dangers. And people that I know directly have been impacted by this kind of deep, dark dangers, harmed by them, and gone even to meet with people and see people who were not what they said that they were and come back deeply harmed. Got direct interact that happens. Oh, be careful. Great danger. Are the dangers worth even participating in at all? I think yes, with the proper understanding, which is why I'm trying to tell you that. Many of you know these things already. Some of you don't, actually. And you ought to. And your parents really shouldn't be letting you do that unless, and then now, again, I realize you're college students who aren't under your parents, many of you, but they should have, or someone should have told you these things, so I am now. It's easy to pretend, fool, and manipulate others in ways that you can't do if you're in actual community. You're sitting here, I can't tell you, I can't fool you and say I'm a woman. You're like, no. Okay, but man, online I can. And if you spend a lot of time around me, I can't really fool you into thinking that I'm something that I'm not. You're going to see me, particularly in a church community thing. Been at the church I'm at for 16 years, Grace, and if anyone's been close to me for 16 years, they've seen a lot of different things, some good, some not good, sin and some, I can't really fool them in some of the ways that I could knowing them on social media. It's easy to spread gossip and lies, real easy. Just as easy as it is to spread truth, it is easy to spread a lie, and it's even easier to spread gossip. Understand that when you talk about anybody, it might not be gossip, but everybody is hearing that, and so it had better not be gossip. Unfortunately, so much of what happens on social media is that people are sinning all the time by saying this about so-and-so or this about so-and-so or that about so-and-so, and it's wicked gossip. Might even be not nice things, but the things aren't wicked, but they're putting that person in a bad light. Now, I'm saying that's not a place for public debate about things that people publicly say and say that's not a good thing for them to say or they shouldn't have done that. That's a different thing. But gossiping about people saying so-and-so, people that you don't even know that to be true, or if it is true, you shouldn't be saying it to everybody else. Really easy. The seeming anonymity, that is it's not a direct face-to-face conversation, makes it easier to engage in evil and draw others into evil. It's just much easier. If you were sitting with someone, you might not have the same conversation as if you were anonymously, or just even if they know who you are, but you're not face-to-face, and you're talking about something, you're chatting late at night with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and it's really easy to say things that you shouldn't say because it seems like they're not right there. They are right there. And to walk down a path together as you begin to go back and forth on those things that twist and pervert your hearts and minds. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've tried to deal with the carnage of it. So easy. You probably would never have gotten. You might have. You might have gotten into that conversation if it was just you, but you might not have started down that road. And you might have pulled back sooner, but because it just kind of seemed like it wasn't real, all of a sudden it was. Very dangerous. Got to be really careful. I'm just hanging out on house party. And all of a sudden the topic turns because nobody can actually see each other and somebody introduces a topic and there it goes. Again, that can happen in real life and it does. It happens more easily on these kinds of things because again, it just doesn't seem like it's actually real, but it is. And you got to be careful. You can get consumed with communication. Some of you love to communicate all the time. And you just get, some of you are like, ooh, you know, not so much. But you just, all you do is communicate, pour out, and you spend all of your time doing it. This particularly happens in your relationships. If you're developing a relationship, guy-girl relationship, you know, generally, and you get consumed with your communication. See, before, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, you had to call them on the phone. Your parents would say, only a certain amount of time, or even just hanging out on the phone was difficult to do because you had to go do something. Now there's unlimited access to each other 24/7, and you abuse it. And somehow it becomes to you the most important thing to have to communicate with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and you're totally consumed, whereas before you couldn't actually do that. There's a reason for distance. There's a reason for space, because they shouldn't be consuming you like that. That's why your parents, you know, for my high schoolers and probably for my college students before you got on your own or whatever, your parents will say, you know, I'm limiting your texting. Well, why? It's just texting. Because you're consumed with that relationship in ways that wouldn't be possible if you didn't have this nifty tool, and it's killing you. And you're getting all kinds of things that you really shouldn't be, and you're spending all your time. And if you're not texting, you want to be. And if somebody tells you not to, then you do, and you're at work and you're doing it. I mean, you know that. You work at Chick-fil-A or wherever, and you're not supposed to have your phones, or maybe you're supposed to. If anybody's got them, boyfriend, girlfriend, usually, all the time. It's unhealthy. You weren't meant to have that kind of full, ongoing, total contact every second, but you think you deserve it on the basis of social media. You guys got to be so careful with that. You're going to have to learn how to have discipline. See, with great power comes great responsibility. Thank you, Spider-Man. But that's really true. With great opportunity comes great responsibility. Let's put it biblically, to whom much has been given, much is required. That's biblical. And guys, you've been given much. This opportunity to communicate, to love each other, to care for each other on social media. I can pick up anywhere in the world pretty much and text my friend who is having a hard time and saying, I love you. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a strong tower. Run into it and be safe. Or I could never do that before. But I have to be careful that I don't get caught up in the communication. If there's anything consuming young people, it's that. Not even some of you are like, I don't do the nasty videos and I'm not into pornography and I just communicate. It's your idol and you spend all your time doing it and you aren't doing some of the other things that you ought to be doing. So those are the dangers. You're like, why are we talking about this then? Because there are corresponding great benefits. Let's talk about then some of the specifics here. Let's begin with social media presence, right? Because you all have a persona that you enter into social media with. Sometimes this is obvious as a profile, a Facebook profile, an Instagram profile, the stuff you put. What is the guiding rule of your social media presence? You can tell me, because the guiding rule for every one of your Christian worldview things, what's the guiding rule? Your presence or your profile should do what? Yeah. Reflect Christ, give glory to God. Well, it's just a Facebook profile, and I don't look like Jesus all the time. I mean, do you believe Philippians 3:7? That whatever things were gained to you, count as loss for the sake of Christ? That your persona is not bound up in you? How about Colossians 1? Turn there. Really powerful. Colossians 3. If you want to talk about what your persona, what your presence really is, you're like, I'm just too spiritual to have, you know, I'm not going to lead with the name of the Lord Jesus on my social profile. I hope you don't think that way. But I've talked to people like that. That's just too overt. I mean, you know, I just want to be real. Loving Jesus for you isn't real? Loving Jesus is some secondary thing that is less important than your love of Marvel movies? Or, I hope not. Okay, Colossians 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And we talked about that. That doesn't mean reading your Bible all the time and going to church. It means thinking about everything in a manner that pleases Christ and through the lens of the principles of Scripture. Everything you're doing, watching Andy Griffith, playing your video game, texting your friend, keep your mind on things because you've been raised up with Christ. Again, you're a Christian. If I'm talking to unbelievers, you're looking at me going, you're stupid. What are you talking about? I mean, that I would lead with religion, that the main thing about me, that's just kind of fake and shallow. Only an unbeliever could possibly think that way, that what you believe is fake and shallow, and that just talking about Jesus is some kind of, you know. Now that consumes you. You've been raised up with Christ. You've been identified with Him. That's who you are. Love that. Now again, I think most of you know that. And that's what you want to be. But the world presses you into its mold and keeps you from that. That would be too overt, and I don't want to. Christ is pretty overt, and when he came to earth, he was pretty overt. And so we've been raised up with him. So set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. Here's why. You're dead. Right? You've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Guys, who you are, that the real you, is Christ. Now, it doesn't eliminate your personality. I'm not saying that. But you are bound up in it. You can't unentwine yourself from the person of Jesus if you're a real Christian. And if you try, then that begins the death of your Christian life. Because you're dead. You've died. And your life is what? What does it say? Hidden with Christ in God. It can't be seen yet because Christ hasn't come back yet. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. You will be seen to be who you really are. And so right now you're supposed to seek to be that and portray that. You can be cheesily, foolishly, self-righteously, ridiculously overt about Jesus in foolish ways. It's just like, it's not who you are. It's not even real. But you can't be too invested in the Lord Jesus, and you can't have him flow through your life too much if it's done properly. Okay, so in your persona, your post, in your present, the purpose of your profile should be to shine glory on Jesus. Even remember, as it's shining through the things you like to do, I love music. Because it's a joyful thing for me to create and to play, because my Savior is the creator of music. And he frees me up. Would that be weird to say? I hope you don't think that's weird. Unbelievers wouldn't ever say it. They think it's weird. And you love to run. And so on your profile is all about running. I love to run. I've got a Strava thing that, you know, and yet on there should be, I run for God's glory. That's weird. I do everything for God's glory. It's that he gives me life and breath, one foot in front of the other. And I will often, even as I'm running, it'll be like, Lord, thank you for this next step, this next life, this next breath. You could take my knee could blow out. I love the pleasure of going on a good run, but it's only in you. I have to remind myself of that. I'm not proclaiming that as I run down the street, but I'm thinking that in my mind. Otherwise, it becomes about me, and I get consumed with running, or I get consumed with the feeling, and I don't realize I run at God's pleasure, or I study at God's pleasure. So Facebook ought to be the same. You do that at his pleasure, and people ought to know that that's what you do. And if that isn't why you do what you do, you might not be a Christian. Right? I keep pressing you on that, don't I? And I will. Because these things are real. I'm a Christian, but it doesn't show up anywhere. You're not a Christian. Probably. You need to be careful with that, but probably not. If it doesn't show up actively, most of where you are, ever increasingly where you are. Social media presence. The purpose of your posts and profile should bring glory to God, not yourself. Again, I don't think it's wrong to show your senior pictures. Okay. I like looking at your senior pictures. I think that's kind of cool. I watch my young people growing up, you're my young people. Many of you, all of you aren't, but I love watching you get older and seeing the cool. Those are fine, but be careful. There's a fine line there between promoting yourself and even sensuality in that. You just got to be careful there. I'm just saying, use that wisely, but still help me know of the glory of God as I look deeper and I consider your profile and I'm drawn through the things you do into who you are. Help me see Jesus. There. And if I know you, that comes to mind, right? Because I know you love Jesus. That's really helpful. But you need to remember that everybody doesn't know you. Your friends don't know you. So you want to draw them there. All right? Things that you promote should not steal from or actively pervert the glory of God, of course. Be careful what you like. I am stunned. Like I said, I got 696 friends. A lot of them are you. And I am stunned at some of the things you like. And I think you need to be more careful. Some of it you might think, no, I like that purposely, and I know you don't like that, Chris, and that's okay. But some of the things you like, I'm like, do you know what you just liked? Or the thing that was set, should you have liked that? You need to be more careful because you're promoting it. I realize it's just a lot. I know, but it is a like. I like it. You know, when bad things happen, it's hard to know how to like it, right? I know what you mean by that, which is I empathize it. That's why I like the other emojis, the sad. Those are fine. But be really careful what you promote. I put up a video the other day. I put up an article that the article I thought was really good. It was linked to a video about the particular guy that was promoting that had things in it that were dishonoring to the Lord. It had to come down. as I can't. The thing was fine, but the video in it was not. And I didn't realize that. I should have watched the video. I didn't. And I had to pull it down because I don't want people looking at that and going, wait a minute. This guy that you just said was great said this. Now, there's nuance. I get that. There'd be other places to talk about him and, you know, but not just throwing it out there where I can't make any explanation, right? So you got to be really careful with those things. Your love for Christ should be evident as your primary motivation in life. Not, you know, that doesn't, you don't have to put, again, Jesus on every thing that, you know, slap the name of Jesus at the end of every line of what you say. But the primary motivation to love him ought to be there. If it isn't, because you need to revamp that profile. You need, that needs to be mentioned there. What I live for Jesus. And I love to run and I love to hike. And so they can, and they might not look at it. I get that. But they can filter the stuff they see through the stuff you said. Like on Instagram, you don't, you know, you make lots of comments. So comment about Jesus as well. But just they need to be able to filter that so that they know. Your life ought to be like that. You don't always just talk about Jesus and you don't always just, you know, go to church. But everything about you should be filtered through an increasing, people's increasing understanding of your love for Jesus. So they view you that way. They see you in Christ. Because that's who you are. Social media ought to be that way. And the neat thing about social media is you can do that much more overtly even than when you're walking down the street. You don't hold up a sign. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But on your social media, your profile can tell them that all the time. Even though all of your posts don't just simply say that. The gospel can and should be promoted on social media. At some levels, you ought to be telling people the gospel. Because all of your 696 or 500 or 400 friends, they probably don't all actually know Jesus. So writing things on there, what the real gospel is and putting them on there and getting stuff, you really ought to do that. I urge you to do that. What's this? You know, what are these new posts from you know, so-and-so? We're talking a lot about Jesus here. Great. The real gospel. I guess people have heard all kinds of things. Just sit in coffee shops and hear what people have heard about who Jesus is and what they believe about what Jesus does. And you're like, ooh, it's kind of like a living Facebook when you go to Vienna or you go, and I'm not purposely listening in on everybody's conversation, but you hear it. People talk loud. And you're like, wow, where did you learn that? And so on Facebook, you want to be correcting that as you can. Things that are right and good and true should be shared. Sometimes just fun stuff. Memes are cool. Don't lose your life on memes, okay? They're funny. I really like them. But you can get sucked into it way too far. But this stuff is stinking funny. I mean, you're like, whoa, that's... Anyway. But make sure it's right and good and true. And even, you know, I like the Babylon Bee, which is a satire. I gotta be careful. They just sometimes go a little far. And you're like... And a steady diet of that just jades me. Gotta be real, because I love satire. I loved Steve Taylor. None of you even know who Steve Taylor is. Early 80s, late 80s Christian music artist. All of his stuff was satire. Every song. About four albums in and you're like, okay, enough satire. It was really, I mean, it was right on. A good message, but you can overdo that. He did and just kind of burnt. Nobody wanted to listen anymore because it just got, he put out something called I Bombed the Clinic Real Good and that satire went a little bit too far. You could probably go look for that song. The song's not bad, but anyway. So guys, be careful. Yeah, those things can be on social media. Be careful what your presence is like. Now let's talk about social media posts. Social media posts. So that's your presence, which involves the things you post. Now make this, maybe you should put this on your computer. Maybe you should make this kind of your mantra. Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it on the day of judgment. By your words you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. Every careless word. How many careless words do you throw out on social media? Again, I'm not talking that you have to say every post has to be gone over 500 times. You're saying, oh, great day, careless word. No, okay. But there are a lot of careless words. And God holds you accountable. You're a Christian. You're not going to go to hell for your words, thankfully, if you're a believer. But you might have wasted a lot of time. And he will hold you accountable for every one of those words. And they will either have pleased him or not, and you will know that. The judgment seat of Christ is pretty clear. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 5, you're going to know. You're not going to enter into heaven lamenting for the rest of your life the things that you didn't do that honor Jesus. But there's going to be a period of time, I think, very clearly that you will. Right as you enter in, you'll recognize, oh, that didn't please my Savior. Why? Because it burns up. Since the fire will reveal your work. So you're going to know. And remember, when you're perfectly glorified and sin is burned away and you're not jaded or jaundiced about who Jesus is and you see the reality of your work in light of the glory of Jesus, that's going to be a deep sadness. A deep sadness. Because you're going to see his glory and how your words didn't match it clearly for the first time, because right now we don't see it clearly because we're sinful and we can't see his glory. But when you're standing before him, just think along those lines. It will help you. You're a Christian. That's what you do. You will stand before him. Every word will be taken into account. Every action will be taken into account. And what happens there, you'll have a real view of it. Whereas here, we wrestle. The Bible gives us the view. By faith, you get it. But maybe on a more positive note, so that's the negative side. Every word you say will be, you'll be held accountable for. Ephesians 4:29, put that right underneath it. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. In some way, whether it's just a grace of a little joy for the day, something that's true, a relational thing that's really fun. Again, we're not talking a biblical principle every moment, but it should all be driven by biblical principle. Guys, that should govern all your communication. No spoiled word. You know, it's like the green stuff in the back of your fridge. You wouldn't eat that. And you wouldn't stuff it down someone's throat. No unwholesome word proceeding from your mouth. Only such a word as is good for edification, to build people up. According to the need of the moment, carefully. That's what I love about social media. I can get at the need of the moment. Found out yesterday about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, someone's father was near death, and so I could instantly respond to that. Love you, praying for you, hope it goes well. Oh, that's sweet. Whereas before, I really wouldn't have had those kinds of opportunities. I don't always take those, but I get them. And those are the kinds of things we can do according to the need of the moment. That it will give grace to those who hear. It will help them. It will encourage them. Guys, that's your social media posts. So, some rules. Rules? Yeah. Biblical rules. Tell the truth. That would be A. Tell the truth. What the things you post about yourself ought to be true. The things you like ought to be true. If you don't know, don't like it. Right? Particularly with all this coronavirus stuff going on. Yeah, I'm right wing and I think all this stuff about masks or whatever. So anytime something that bashing masks, I like that. And you know that's true. You might be on this side. Everything about masks is good and great. But I like that. How do you know that's true? A lot of it you can read, but you probably shouldn't even necessarily like, because you don't actually know that it's true. Again, that's about 1,000 things. It's just I'm picking something that's kind of apropos, I think, to where we're at. Even stats about all this stuff and what's going on and how people ought to respond. Be careful of just liking it all. So-and-so did this. I like that. Well, maybe that guy, that wasn't so great. Think about it before you like it. All the social justice stuff, depending on your bent and your political bent. I will get there. We'll have to shut this down in a minute. I like it because that comes from my viewpoint. I'm a right-wing conservative or whatever you might be. If it's that, red meat, like that. Is it true? Is it wholesome? Is it profitable? Don't like it. Because it gives you an endorphin bump. You know, you scrolling down through Facebook and the things you like jump out at you. That's why they're on your Facebook page. You know that, right? The secret people that do that, put the stuff on there that you know you've been looking at, and they know whether you're right-wing, left-wing, you can call those, give those whatever terms you want. They know, and they put this red meat out there that's going to give you a like bump, and even if you don't like it, you know, because you instantly just kind of this flare up. That's good. You don't even know it's true. Half of it isn't true. Maybe more than half of it isn't true on both sides. You know that, don't you? You know that most of it isn't, you can't actually fact check it. You don't actually know. Please tell me you know that. Don't raise your hand. Much of it has no basis in fact at all. The more ridiculous and the more it draws you out, the more likely it is to be absolutely flatly false. Because they know that. They know the stuff that will draw you. And people write that stuff. The trolls write it all so that you will be drawn to them and their stuff. Please, I hope you know that. If you didn't know it now, you don't know that any of that is true. Someone puts a Bible verse up there, it is true. Now, I'm saying they don't have to put Bible verses up there, but I'm not saying their interpretation of Bible verses is true either. The things you repost or promote should be true. To the best of your ability that you know them, which means it's probably not a lot of stuff you re-turn around because you don't know. So be careful. The truth. Guys, there's nothing more devastating than a whole generation raised on things that aren't true. And social media does a lot of that. A lot of it just plain isn't true. And you certainly don't want to be telling people about yourself that isn't true. Shade the truth about who you are. B, it should demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Tone and content, you know, this is Facebook. Finally, brethren, mindset, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, maybe most importantly, self-control. Does everything you post reflect the fruit of the Spirit? I don't care if it's going after somebody for a really false idea, bad thing. Does it reflect the fruit of the Spirit? If it doesn't, you're wrong. All that Twitter rage and all this stuff, you know, ooh, you know, I've mentioned this before. I destroyed that guy. Fruit of the Spirit just shines out of that, doesn't it? Let Ben Shapiro destroy people, okay? He doesn't know Jesus. All right? You don't get to do that, and you shouldn't like all the red meat that gets thrown out about that. You need to have the fruit of the Spirit. You don't check your fruit of the Spirit at the door when you go online. Well, when I'm personally with someone, I'll be really fruity. Fruit of the Spirit-y. All right? The tone and content of your post should be full of the Spirit. The things you post and repost should be kind and good, even if they're hard-hitting. I'm not saying you can't be hard-hitting. That's wrong. Here's why. You know, and this is not a good thing. You really shouldn't be involved in this. But there's a tone. You know the tone. You read the tones. You know what they are. Write carefully. Isn't it fascinating when you text people how important tone is and how easily tone gets misrepresented? I try to read over every text, even little ones. And I'll someone will respond and say, hey, you want to get together? I'll say, sure, this time. Well, that's okay. But if I was with them, I'd probably say, sure, yeah, let's get together. That's a totally different thing than, sure, three. Right? So how do I fix that? Emoji can fix it. Little smile. I like emojis. You know, you're a weirdo. No, they help me get some tone. An exclamation point fixes it, helps. 3 o'clock. Instead of 3 o'clock. Because it's totally different. Think about that. Let the tone of your texting. Oh, no. See, you get lazy. And you're like, oh, no, texting is for just saying whatever I want to say, whenever I want to say it, and I shouldn't have to think about it. Then stop texting. I think your grammar doesn't have to be right. That's okay. All right. My mom, the grammar queen, if I tried to do anything at home that was wrong, grammar's like, that's wrong, get the right tense, all this stuff. Her texting is horrible. You're great, Chris. Yeah, you are. I mean, like, Mom, what happened to you? Because it's just quick to get out. But the tone is good. Demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Demonstrate maturity. And please remember, of your 596 friends, they all are at different levels of maturity. They're all in the conversation, by the way. Did you forget that? Sometimes people forget I'm in their conversation. And they say things, and every once in a while I'll pipe up and go, did you know that I'm on your friend list? That thing you said was just not good. Would you stop that? I usually end up off the friend list after that. I'm okay with that. But guys, you put me on your friend list. I'm not talking about you guys generally. I actually did remove someone from my friend list because they posted a wicked thing towards me. Really, it wasn't towards me. It was towards a friend of mine that I'd visited. It's wicked. I said, did you forget that friend was on here? No, they didn't forget. They knew that. And that's who they were coming after through me. No, we're not going to have friends like that. You're done. Because you're attacking other people through me. But those things happen. And your maturity level needs to be for the conversation. Get rid of the friends if they can't handle the things that you're going to say. Then they shouldn't be on there. They shouldn't be in your conversation. That's the danger of social media. Everybody hears what you said. You have to direct some things. Don't post the things on there that are only for your friends. You're dealing with some deep theological issues with that are maybe a little controversial, and you're trying to work your way through it. That's a better face-to-face conversation. Because they can't get your tone. They don't know what you're talking about. The other people out there are going, "Woo, he believes that? What does that mean?" Be careful. Don't spout off about all your, you know, be really careful. Demonstrate maturity. Remember the differences in maturity amongst your friends. And be careful of damaging the consciences of some of your friends. Well, we need a theology of conscience, but we're barely going to get to politics. All right? Don't shout. You know what I mean by that? Think about it this way. If every time you walked in, you came into my presence, I said something like, volleyball is great! And you walked in the next day, volleyball is great. And I walked in the next day, man, spiking is great. I walked in the next day, man, I love to spike the volleyball. Guys, you'd get pretty tired of me. It sounds like I'm shouting at you. If everything you post is about the same thing, all the people on your thing are going, I'm just tired of that. You're shouting at me. And it's not helping me. Don't shout. Doesn't matter which direction it is or what. Don't always have it be about the same thing. Want to shout about Jesus? Pretty happy about that. But even then, Right? It should have some nuance. I love Jesus. Let's do this for Jesus. That's Jesus. So be have understand that you're shouting at people, and then you wonder why they're frustrated with you. You know, you haven't talked to them, and every time they've opened up their your Facebook page, you've said the same thing, and then you get face to face with them, and they're kind of like, you're like, well, why? We haven't even been together. Well, that's because everything you said for this past week, every time I turned on my face, was all about this thing. And so that's the only way I'm even relating to you right now. And so I have to undo all of that in my mind. And it's a thing I don't like, maybe. Well, you shouted at them for a week, and then you get together like, hey. I mean, you couldn't do that relationally. You have to nuance it. So you need to do that on Facebook, too. Not that you can't talk about things. Have opinions. Put things down. Do that stuff. That's okay. But don't shout at people. And don't shove things down their throats because they're not there talking back to you. In any direction about anything. I'm not talking to anybody in particular. I'm talking to all of you. Don't shout. Keep Christ at the center. Be careful that the various issues you're passionate about don't overshadow your passion for Christ. We've talked a lot about that. Limit your debates. Limit your debates. Guys, debating on Facebook, there's some places I think you could maybe, I'm not even sure you ever can. When you're not convincing anybody, you're just not. You might convince them if you sit down and look them in the eye and say, hey, let's talk about this. I see things this way. Why did you say that? But we don't do that well personally. You really don't do that well on Facebook. Don't attack someone's position in a discussion on a Facebook page. Let them write an article. Just read it. Think about it. If you want to engage, that's fine. If you want to engage with them, call them up. Better yet, sit down with them, particularly in the same church. Don't bust the church up by debating with people on a forum where everybody's watching you and there's no nuance. You can't describe it. I don't like that. What do you mean by it? You use a word that somebody doesn't even understand. Intersectionality or social justice or, you know, and what do you mean by that? Well, you need to be able to talk it out. What do those things mean? Limit your debating. If you want to, guys, debate, cool. But do so biblically and generally personally, and don't bust things up, relationships and other things, because you had to do it publicly. Don't pretend to be an expert. Nothing can be comprehensively dealt with in 180 words now? 185 words on Twitter? Nothing. Boom! Mic drop. Gotcha. In 180 words? No. Never. Not ever. And you walk away thinking, I showed that guy. You probably showed him your ignorance. Now, again, some things are cool to say. That can be cool Twitter things said. But don't think you ended the debate and you destroyed that guy and that was the be-all and the end-all. That was the last word on that thing. It wasn't. Nothing is solved in 185 words with no response. Somebody goes back and say, of those 185 words, I disagree with 180 of them. Well, why? Well, let me tell you why. Right? You need more of those conversations. And don't pretend to be an expert. Right? I'm an expert on coronavirus. I'm an expert on politics. I'm an expert on, you know, any of these things. Don't pretend to be experts. You can give your opinion, but be careful of making it seem like you really know what you're talking about. And watch the experts you use. Right? You piggyback on the back of other experts, but be careful. Don't reveal intimate details, please. Please, about your relationship? No. You go, fine to put on their inner relationship. Cool. Yeah. I know you're now in a relationship. That's pretty. Don't give anyone details. If you want to sit down and talk with someone and talk about the neat things you're learning, guys, Facebook is not the place for that. That's real conversation. Tell people about those neat things, but your whole Facebook audience doesn't need to know or see all the pictures. Show some of them wonderful. Don't show all of them. Because it's the wrong place. That kind of intimacy is not, guys, it's a public showing. And just kind of objectifies people when you do that. Don't be careful of those intimate details. And please, please, please don't seek counsel on Facebook or Instagram. Having a tough time, what should I do? Talk to your pastor. Talk to a good Christian friend that will help you. If you want to private message someone who you know that could give you good advice, don't throw it out there to your 189 friends. Something to pray for. Hey, everybody pray. I've got a tough work day ahead. I can see that, although I still think you ought to be doing that with the people that love you and know you and are, you know, maybe that's Facebook. But guys, not, you know, I'm wrestling with this deep issue, depression. What do I do with that? And you can't get help from people like that. So find places where you can get real help. I'm not saying don't look for help. Facebook's not the place for the cry for help. You need to have enough relationship that people, when you really need help, they can come provide it to you. And you know who they are. And they're real people. If you don't, guys, that's a problem. You can't solve it with a Facebook presence. Don't seek counsel. We'll finish with 12 questions to ask before posting online. I'll just read them. Most of what I've already said, just think about them if you want to write one or two down that seem good. This is from Mark Dever, actually. 12 questions to ask before posting online. Will it edify? That is, build up. Will it be easily misunderstood? Will it be easily misunderstood? Will it reach the right audience with your 565 friends? Will it help my evangelism? Will it bring unnecessary and unhelpful controversy? There's a place for controversy, but not a lot. Will it embarrass or offend? Will it convey care, even if it's disagreement? Will it make people better appreciate someone else, even if they disagree with them, or it will help even bring clarity to their view? Is it just straight up boasting? So blessed that I'm so great and got straight A's this year. Hashtag blessed. I didn't need to know that. Thank the Lord. Tell your parents it's wonderful. Tell your friends it's wonderful that are close to you, but don't throw it out there because it can't be much else other than I'm great. Even if you put a hashtag blessed on it, it's not how that works. Is the tone appropriate? Is it wrong to say nothing? Should I say something? It's a good one to think about. What do others advise? Should I do that? Should I say that? Should I post that? You might sometimes ask. Does it inappropriate? This is now question 13. This is mine. But does it unnecessarily draw attention to myself? Whether it's boasting directly or not, does it unnecessarily draw attention to me? Does it properly portray who I am, or does it put me in the best possible light always? Will it cause someone else to stumble visually or intellectually, spiritually? Will it cause them to stumble? Will it harm someone's conscience? All right, we won't go with conscience today. That's E, dealing with matters of conscience. We just need to understand that that's out there. We'll take a break and then cover some politics. 5 minutes? 10 minutes?
5 minutes. We're going to go have lunch picked up in a minute. I'll probably be done about 12:20.
So perfect. 5 minutes. Perfect. You guys are brave, bold. I'll go for politics with you and I'll see if you can stand it. And then you can go hiking. So.